I'm Jackie Vetrano from Skidmore College.
And I'm Logan Bishop from Belmont University. You're listening to Higher Ed Social.
You're welcome. Hello. Happy Father's Day. Are you celebrating? Are you a father?
No. We're going to do some stuff with the family this afternoon, but other than that,
nice.
This is a chill day for everyone involved.
Well, as I learned on How I Met Your Mother, happy not a Father's Day, Ben. Mm. I don't know if you're a How I Met Your Mother fan, or else that's not funny.
I have strong feelings on people that celebrate their pets on Father's Day. I'm not in the fur children camp.
I don't like any way, shape, or form. I agree. I do not like that phrase.
That makes me uncomfortable. I don't know if it makes me uncomfortable. It's just
a weird, because when I hear fur baby, I just picture a human baby covered in fur, and it's really terrifying.
It's problematic.
Yes.
It's very problematic.
We all have hair.
Well, happy. I won't say, like, what do I say? Fur father? That's so weird. Happy Fur Father Day. Yay. Logan's a dad. Happy Father's Day, Logan.
Thank you.
Yeehaw.
For those of you tuning in, we obviously are recording on Father's Day.
Yes. Woohoo. Thanks, all you dad listeners out there. We appreciate you. Well, before we go into it, we should probably have you introduce yourself, Ben, because that's a good way to start off the show.
That sounds like a plan. My name is Ben Luttrell. I am the media relations specialist for the University of Southern Indiana in Evansville, Indiana. I've been there for not quite 2 years, two school years. So this is my second summer at USI. I am responsible for external media relations for the university, as well as sort of overseeing our flagship social accounts and providing guidance and support and help for people that run our affiliated social media accounts.
That's a lot of things.
Yes, it is.
It is a lot of things. It's a lot of fun things.
Yeah. So did you just get social? There's a lot of people that social media just kind of gets thrown at them, and then it turns into other duties as assigned. Is that how you took on social?
Actually, this has kind of been my job from the start. When this job was sort of, when I was applying for this job, it was very clear that there would be sort of a dual lane, that I would be doing both media relations and social media. And so I was prepared for that from the very beginning, and it's been really nice to know your role, if you will.
Right.
Even though, you know, we do everything as a team, but to be able to say, you know, here's what I'm bringing to the table and here's what, you know, we can collaborate on together, it's been very helpful. And it sounds like a lot, but it gives you a lot of freedom, mm-hmm. to really see how those two worlds work together, because if I can make my job easier by kind of combining jobs,
right.
I look forward to any opportunity to do that. But it's been a pretty clear sort of, everything I've done from the beginning is done with both external sort of traditional media relations, but also social media.
Right.
How about your feeling?
You are talking to the social media team.
Oh,
that's great. You're talking. Team. I mean, Jackie, you don't have a big team, do you?
It's just you, isn't it? I'm the only one who really is maintaining the social media accounts. But I will say, I used to have a partner in crime. She took a new job, a great step for her. So right now, I am an army of one. But we have a digital engagement manager who kind of oversees social media as well as other digital initiatives, but I was the one that really was crafting the digital. Well, I say was, like, I'm not there. I am crafting the social media strategy and really in it every day. So yeah, I don't know too many places though that have multiple people kind of maintaining social media.
And I mean, mine is students? Yeah, go ahead. Oh. Sorry.
No, I was going to say the way it works sort of on our team is I'm part of our university communications team. And so we have a manager of university communications who oversees us and photography. And then we have me who handles external media and social media. We have another person on our team that is internal communications. And then we have another person on our team that handles publications.
Okay.
So we kind of split it up by target audience, if you will.
Right.
External media, external audiences all go to me. Internal audiences, so faculty, students, administrators, that all goes to Angie, who's our internal specialist. And then all of our publication audiences go through Connie, who's our editor and overseer of university publications.
So when you have social media, though, and it's both audiences, like social media really is internal and external. So how do you guys divide that up?
As far as just like a day-to-day working on stuff, it goes through me.
Okay.
But that's where a lot of the collaboration comes into play, because we have stuff that's written specifically for internal audiences.
Right.
But a lot of our stuff that we put out goes everywhere. And it's just a matter of shaping the message for the audience. So if we have a story, like if there's a construction update that needs to go out, like there's like a road that's going to be closed for a couple weeks because of construction, we'll all get around the table and talk about it. And, you know, for internal, we'll do these things. For external, we'll do these things. And then on social, because we're pretty aware of who's reading our social media on what accounts, we can take that same message and sort of work together on the best ways to get it to the right people through whatever channel we are going to be using.
Social's hard. It's hard to balance.
I'm finding that out.
It's such a struggle. What channels
all
do
of you,
you guys have?
So we, our big primary focus is on Facebook, Twitter, as flagships, I should say.
Yeah.
Right.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Those are the four things that we sink most of our institutional time and energy into maintaining and regularly updating and controlling those channels.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Like, what do you think? What do you think of LinkedIn? Because the amount of engagement on LinkedIn lately has actually surprised me compared to, say, Twitter.
We've really invested in LinkedIn as well.
Yeah,
I've
been impressed by it just lately.
It's been surprising because so the whole merger between company pages and university pages
that's what made the difference. Yeah,
I'm not gonna say it hasn't been weird.
Yeah,
but I'm with you, Logan. I've seen some pretty impressive and frankly kind of surprising results off of LinkedIn, and it's really kind of made me, you know, think about what we use it for.
Yeah, I used to think LinkedIn was only for people looking for a job, but it looks like people are actually on LinkedIn now, like doing more than looking at people's profiles and stuff.
Which is weird, because I remember when LinkedIn started shifting from this is where you go to find a job to the whole like influencer and, you know, this is where I go to read posts from business leaders, and this is where I go to like hear what Richard Branson has to say. And it started becoming less about just like, here's my digital resume, and more of like here is a business centric social place. And something else that it might just be a personal theory, but I think people like hearing from their alma mater when they're on this, you know, network, because they're not necessarily there for us as an institution, but they like seeing our stuff there, especially since we try and make our LinkedIn content sort of more alumni pride point stuff, or stuff that specifically interests alumni that are in the professional field.
Right.
So, and it also helps that when those two audiences merge between company page and university page, which it seems like whichever page had the bigger audience tend to won out or win out. So we had that sort of audience, so they're not split over two pages anymore. Now they're all funneled into the same page, and it's really made it easier for us to know what to do with LinkedIn, because it's like, what do we put on our company page? What do we put on our university page?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now that there's one, it's a lot easier from our perspective.
Yeah, and same here.
It looks like people are reacting to it better.
I was so happy when those got together, or when they did the merge. Because
it made me happy.
Ridiculous.
It made me happy because Sprout Social, which is what we use to monitor and do all of our things, it worked on the company pages, but it didn't work on the school pages. But now it works. So
same with Buffer.
It really makes life easier.
Buffer was the same way. Buffer could only post the company pages. And now they're one and the same.
Our company page, I don't even think when it was separate, I don't even think I even updated it ever. Because it was just like, I don't even know how to handle these two pages. So when we merged, well, first of all, it skews a lot of my data because when they merged the two together, our audience, of course, we got like 400% increase in our audience over like the course of a month because all of a sudden we put them all together. So that kind of skewed things for me. So that had to wait to settle itself out. But then
that's okay.
Finally,
it can be dead to you before that. LinkedIn's dead to you before that.
It's just, it's all over the place, but I am very grateful. And I look at a lot, our click-through rates, you know, we share, or I keep saying we, I'm the only one that does it. I share.
We as in Skidmore. You're just thinking into Skidmore.
Yeah, Skidmore. Skidmore.
It's the institutional we.
The greater we, yeah.
The capital we.
So I will share the same story across multiple channels, but depending on the content, not all channels. And so to see how things perform like on LinkedIn compared to Twitter sometimes is mind blowing. Cause I'm like, even with Twitter, I will share the same story a couple times throughout the week and I'm still seeing more engagement and click-throughs on LinkedIn than on Twitter. The big we.
We just did year-end metrics because we do our annual report on fiscal. And so we do year-end. This is our year-end. And so I was pulling our year-end numbers and I was looking at LinkedIn and it was like, oh my goodness, this is narrative shattering is what it is. Because it's like, I knew exactly what I was going to say. It's like, here's the LinkedIn numbers. Here's what LinkedIn is. Here's what we're doing with it. And I was taken aback because I was like, oh, now I actually have to like dig in and really figure out what this is going to mean for us going forward. And also kind of like, well, if we're going to get a bigger reach, do we need to really think about what kind of content we're going to put on this? Because it's one thing to just say, here's the perfunctory, you know, big announcements going on LinkedIn.
Right.
Now that we know that this is getting more of a reach, is this something our alumni team can kind of do more with? Since they know they're going to see people are going to see it. People have shown that they will react to it if the content's what they want.
Right.
Do you share your LinkedIn with your alumni crew? Do they also provide content?
We are kind of, it's something that the new LinkedIn's made us talk about. Traditionally, no. They use it internally for their purposes, but they don't post. They haven't been posting on it. But with this new, you know, idea of what LinkedIn can be for us, it's something we're really talking about and really going to, you know, give you know, the alumni team the opportunity to do more content creation for that LinkedIn page.
That'll help you with your job because then you don't have to do it.
Anytime anyone can help me with content creation, I fully embrace and cherish it.
Oh my God, I'm the same way.
We have a team of folks, I've mentioned it on the show before, the social media administration team that's made up of our office, which is marketing, communications, admissions, athletics, student affairs, and alumni. And we all work together to like bring the content to our flagship accounts. So it's always helpful to have a team like that.
We have an advisory board like that. It's not so much content as it is strategy driven.
Right.
But we have representatives from University Communications, sort of our overarching marketing team, Mm-hmm. As well as outreach and engagement, which for us is our community engagement arm. Mm-hmm. Web services is represented, and alumni as well. We have actually, and it's interesting, we kind of draw a line between academic and athletics in terms of communication.
Hmm.
Athletics kind of does their own thing. And I'm there to help, and they adhere to style and policy and guidelines and all of that stuff, but they drive mm-hmm. their own bus for the most part. And there isn't always, I mean, we as a flagship will take and share from the athletic stuff, but they generate and kind of run their own content. And frankly, that's a really big help for me because I want them to be as successful and I want them to share as much about all of their student athletes as they possibly can. And I know that if I've got the athletic, you know, flagship on top of the academic flagship,
mm-hmm.
both are going to suffer just from lack of time and attention. And so
right.
they are able to really do a lot of good stuff with the athletic side and let me kind of drive the flagship, which is...
Yeah, our athletics accounts obviously drive themselves too, but... we want them to have a say in the kind of content that's posted on the flagship accounts too, because, you know, athletics is a big part of the university and something that we're really trying to grow. And that's really kind of why, we give them a seat at the table, just like we do alumni or admissions or, I mean, communications obviously is a huge part too, but student affairs,
yeah.
you know, we want to be able to tell the story of the entire university with our flagship accounts, which is why athletics is part of the story. Mm-hmm. So, plus they're really great at social and they offer really good suggestions and such for the flagship accounts. And it also opens me up to make suggestions and, you know, do stuff with them too. So, I help them out sometimes. I make videos for them. They help me out. They give me stuff to post when things are kind of slow. So it's great. Mm-hmm. It's a good partnership. Yeah. I don't want to say that they don't post on our accounts. They just offer up stuff and right. help with the strategy.
Yeah, we have two people actually that work for marketing, but athletics. So actually, like, physically their offices are over in athletics. They do all the athletics marketing stuff, but they're actually in our marketing team, so it's really nice to have somebody who's dedicated to it.
Sorry, I'm doing Jackie's praise hooves right now. Is that what they call it? Praise hooves? I don't... Okay. Jackie's not laughing.
Yeah, no. That's yeah, you gotta download Skidmoji.
Yes. You should download the Skidmoji app and see all the cool Skidmoji that Jackie created.
When they released the eagle emoji, was it like earlier this year? My life changed because we are the Screaming Eagles. And now that we have an actual emoji that we can use.
Oh, that's so nice.
That's awesome.
They do the job for me. Sometimes I just have to sit back and just let the world happen and I can benefit from it.
Yep.
With this, with us going to the Stanley Cup, we made a lot of animated GIFs and now I'm with the mascot. So now that's like the business that we're in is making those. We kind of skipped the whole emoji thing and just went straight to making animated GIFs around the city, which was fun, but also very time-consuming, but fun.
We invested, but sometimes I will have things called Jackie Idea Bombs where I have an idea and I want it to be done, but I can't actually do any of it. Like, I don't know how to do any of the steps that would require to complete the project. So I had this idea to create a Skidmore emoji keyboard. And I know there's like third parties out there that will do this for schools because some schools have done it, but I wanted to do it in-house. And so I just kind of told people to make an emoji keyboard for me and it was created. So we recruited a then student, now alum, to program it. And our graphic designer created some amazing emojis. And so now it's there. It's live the Apple store. We only have it for Apple products, unfortunately. We are not on Android yet. But go ahead and download it if you're an Apple user.
It's a lot of fun. We'll have a link to it in the show notes.
Yeah, for sure. So now that it's summer, are you kind of, is it like low key for you guys? Do you have anything major coming up?
I wouldn't say we have anything major coming up. For me personally, summer is a chance to do this stuff sort of strategically that I don't have time to do during the school year. Okay. So all of the like taking ideas and pulling that I don't have time to do during the fall or the spring and sort of game planning those out for next year, like formatting a content calendar, organizing and sort of expanding our advisory board, you know, bringing students in to mm-hmm. our advisory, into an advisory, you know, board, sort of a cross between advisors and ambassadors.
You gotta love having a team like that.
I'm looking forward to it.
Believe me, now that we're, well, this is me personally. I'm what, about to turn 36. I'm not as cool as I used to be. So
no.
So self-conscious.
Well, see, there's so this kid cool. And he got on my lawn the other day, and I just really felt like I needed to yell at him, and I just realized it's over as far as being youthful. Because, you know, once you want to yell at a kid on your lawn, it's just too much. You know, next is going to be rock and roll music.
I mean,
but in any case, how big is your student advisory ambassador group going to be? Like, how many
right
are you
going
to bring in?
I want to start with 8 to 10.
That's a good number.
Yeah, because I want it to be students that are interested.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to not have to recruit again in the spring. So mm-hmm. I'm going to try and ask for students that are able to commit to the full year.
Right.
I find if they're somewhat volunteer, as they tend to be, mm-hmm. sometimes they dial back in the spring semester. So it's really good to have that number. I learned that my first year. My first year I had like 5 to 7, somewhere like that. And then they kind of got busy during the spring, which is funny because there seems like there's less going on campus, but they somehow get busier with internships and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, it really, having that number is really good. That's a really good number.
And I want to make sure that they're getting something out of it. And I know that with too few, we kind of get to the point where like, if we lose one out of five, that's, you know, 20% of my team that's gone. But if we have like 15 to 20, I'm not sure I can provide 15 to 20 people enough experience for them that they'll stick around without, you know, credit or pay or stuff like that. So right. I want to be able to find a good group of students that I can start to build a trust with, and hopefully give them something more than just, you know, a committee to be on or some, you know, extra credit depending on their relationship with the faculty this ends up having. But, you know, it's important to me and it's important to us that, you know, anything we do provides a benefit to the students, not just from a resume perspective, but an actual like educational experience. And I'm taking that really to heart when I'm building this thing out to make sure I'm not just giving students something to say they were on, but giving students something that they can truly learn something about marketing and learn something about strategic communications through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you've never had student help before?
Not like this. We've done one-off sort of focus panels, mm-hmm. Where we just sit and have students tell us they don't like reading things on Instagram, which was a lesson that was hard learned for some people. Mm-hmm. But no, this is going to be new for us in terms of a sustained student help beyond our department student workers.
Wow. Well, good luck recruiting. Yep.
Thanks. I've got a lot of people that are ready to volunteer students to get in on this. So
that's always good too.
It is, but I want to make sure that I don't want this to be something that students feel like they have to do to make a professor or a supervisor happy. So I'll take the names, but I want to make sure that everyone who gets in on this is willing and ready.
Yeah, we're my team has dropped from I started with 15 in the fall, and I think I have 8 coming in next semester, so I'll hire a few more. And I have 3 over the summer that are kind of helping out, so that are still here, so that's kind of helpful and awesome. So it's kind of hard because the amount of content there is to post over the summer kind of drops off.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of orientation. It'll be the second week of orientation next week. So I've magically got stuff these last 2 days or last 2 weeks. But, after that, it goes to that lull between, orientation and August, which is very, very
fun,
boring.
Yeah.
And I kind of envy you. We've been really, really busy, this summer. Just lots of different projects, lots of cool things that we're doing. So I haven't been able to sit down and really think strategically. That's what I'm kind of hoping to get to after orientation's over. So, yeah.
I'm keeping busy. I don't want to make it sound
No. The strategic part of it is definitely, like, huge and time-consuming and crazy. I just wish I had time to do it. That's what my problem is right now, at least so far this year. Usually we've already kind of come up with like an outline for next year, like what we want to accomplish and that kind of stuff. And we just haven't had a chance to, just because, I'm down a person and things have just been crazy, which I'm still hiring, people out there. But yeah,
PSA.
Anyway,
I
had to find some way to get that in there.
It's all good.
My coworker knew someone that she's a student at Boston University and is interested in interning. And so she came in and chatted with me, and I was like, well, I don't know if I have budget, in the summer to pay you. And she's like, oh, I don't need to be paid. It's okay. And I'm like, yes. So here you go. Come with me. So luckily I do have some help over the summer now. And I was chatting with her about social and stuff, and I was like, yeah, I heard that, or I was reading that Instagram stories, I guess, are doing better than Snapchat stories. And she's like, oh yeah, Instagram is like the cool new thing. And I was like, wow, I feel old now. I just felt old. I didn't think it was possible.
We've seen that. We tried, it's hard for us to do Snapchat. And we're working on better ways to do it. But right now, since it is just me, I'm finding that I have to be very, very strategic in how we do a Snapchat story. Mm-hmm. But we tried to do one for this past commencement. And so we were able to see, and we'd done a couple Snapchat stories for commencement before, but I was able to say, all right, let's do heads up, Snapchat story versus Instagram story, who wins? And by the end of the first ceremony, it was pretty clear that Instagram was blowing Snapchat, at least for us, out of the water.
Yeah. I just figured out Snapchat and like how I was going to make it work logistically. And now everyone's telling me to flip it and I don't know what to do. I just don't like this. One more thing.
It's always one more thing. Something else is going to come out and it's going to be awesome and amazing, and then Facebook's going to copy it.
Going to buy it, yeah. Or buy it.
Yeah, basically.
I don't know. Lately, they haven't been buying it. They've just been copying it.
Which I don't like.
Yeah.
The next thing that I'm trying to figure out how the heck we're going to get involved in is Messenger. Because that has been something that everything I'm reading is saying, everything's going to go towards Messenger. Everything's going to go towards, people just talking with, brands, and it's making me like, so why would anyone want to IM USI? And so I'm game planning out all the different like current students asking, when's my next class,
right?
Versus, potential students like, do you have a dental hygiene program? It's like I can answer, but well, I can answer one of those questions pretty easily.
I do find it interesting that the internet is circling back to what it was in the 90s, like with five instant messengers, and everyone's using all five. Whether it's GroupMe, Facebook Messenger, all this kind of stuff, it's interesting that it's kind of circling back. The next thing we know, we're going to have like we're going to be able to put gradient coloring on our text that we put. Oh wait, Facebook.
We can already
thanks.
Yes.
It's turning into Yahoo Messenger, Facebook.
There is nothing new under the sun. Everything eventually comes back.
Yeah. We made the, you know, the class of 2021 Facebook group, and a student messaged me because they saw me as an admin. They all think I'm a student. I'm like, nope, I work here. And they said, is it okay if I create a group me for our class? And I'm like, do you want to do that? Like, do you want to be in a group me with like 600 people? I don't know if that's...
They do. I don't know why, but they do.
Is a layer of hell I am unfamiliar with.
It is terrifying. And so I joined it just kind of to be there just in case. And like, it's adorable. Like, I just want to hug all of them. They like are creating like... They're having all these separate meetups. Like, they're like, okay, people that live in New York City, people live in Boston, like, let's all meet up and do this thing. It's like the coolest, but also terrifying. And also like,
yeah, look
I don't
at Harvard.
Really have, I thought I had job security and now I don't. And so like, cause all these students are doing it on their own. I don't even do it.
They've always done it on their own. It's just that we've never seen it as openly as we see it right now.
True, and the race is to who can build the best platform to keep the big nasty brands and the adults out of it.
If the university started GroupMe's,
then no one would join.
Exactly.
I don't know. Would they or would they not?
I don't think they would. At least it would take something. It would take some other form of motivation for them to join it, I think, because I'm not sure. And this might vary from institution to institution, and it might be different at, like, say, like a college, or I can see a department level GroupMe working really well, because I just think you have, you know, you see people more often, faculty can communicate with classes and students, and I can see that functionally working. The bigger the circle you go, to me, it just seems, I don't want to say problematic, but it seems really kind of like shouting into the wind.
I agree.
Yeah.
But people love shouting into the wind on social media these days. So.
Isn't that the whole point of social media? Sorry.
I mean,
every once in a while doing this job, I have a very like bleak existential crisis, and it lasts for like 20 minutes and then it's gone and I can get back to my job. But...
Well,
then you realize it's all okay.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I think that's all the time we've got for the show this week. Thanks, Ben, for joining us this week.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And listeners, head down to highered.social and get links to all the fun stuff that we talked about today, specifically Skidmoji. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. And if you're listening on Apple, please give us a review. We love having that. It helps people find the show. It's good stuff, and we like hearing from you. If you want to talk to us, you can talk to us on Twitter at HES Podcast. Send us a tweet. We love talking to you. And don't forget to let us know if you want to be on the show. So we hope you have a good week. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, guys.